Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Husband Got Made Dress Part 4. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing. And check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. Miss Charlotte looked at me amusingly, but without a trace of mockery, and turning to Miss Debbie, she said in a very pronounced British accent, "Well, my dear, she looks better than I thought, a bit larger than normal. But I can think of many women who would have been very jealous for her legs here." She turned back to me. "Annie, you have pretty legs, did you know that?" She continued looking at me. I blushed deeply and said in an embarrassed manner, "Thank you, miss, you are very kind." "Not at all, love, I always speak the truth," she answered back in her very distinctive upper-class accent as they both were marching towards the house. She was a teaser, this one, I could tell, but somehow I felt quite at home with both of them. I followed behind and I rushed to the kitchen to prepare the drinks as Mrs. Melissa was greeting them with kisses and hugs. I was about to carry the tray with the champagne glasses in when the bell rang again. Instantly, Mrs. Melissa's voice, "Annie, go to the gate, please." This time it was a bit harder for me. An older couple was expected and I felt slightly more anxious, but things were happening fast now and I was getting more busy by the minute. So no time for worries or embarrassment. I opened the gate, and a lady in her mid-40s was superficially grinning at me. Behind her, a man in his 50s was standing looking at me with an obvious curiosity. "Hello. We are Mr. and Mrs. Parker," said the lady, rather arrogantly, I should say. I curtsied as instructed, saying at the same time, "Please come in." I stepped aside to let them in. Without a word, they moved forward, completely ignoring me. A totally different reaction from the two ladies. Soon, I was wandering around first with a tray of champagne glasses and immediately after carrying another tray with hors d'oeuvre. They all were engaged in deep and cheerful conversation. After all, Christmas was approaching and there was a festivity in the air. I very quickly realized that nobody paid the slightest attention to me. I was the maid and certainly they treated me as such. Then a peculiar feeling of inner peace overtook me. I don't have to worry about those people anymore. I am expected to do a job tonight, and I want to do it to perfection. Mrs. Melissa must have picked my inner feelings. Probably it was obvious to my face, because at one point she winked at me as if she wanted to say, "So far, so good." The moment that they sat down to dinner, I became extremely busy, and I had to concentrate not to do something terribly wrong. I remembered to serve them from the left and remove their used plates from the right. A couple of times, Mrs. Melissa came to the kitchen to reassure me that everything is fine, and people are very pleased with my performance. As instructed, when not busy, I was standing at a distance with my hands crossed in front of my apron, trying to anticipate their needs. I was at a safe distance, though, not to be able to hear what they were talking about. At about 10 o'clock, they all were sitting comfortably in the lounge, enjoying their coffee. Then I got a signal from Mrs. Melissa that I could withdraw to the kitchen and start the dishes. She could cope with the guests from now on. I realized that this was the dismissal sign for me. I wasn't needed anymore in the main areas of the house. I cleared the table completely and went to the kitchen. My heart sunk when I saw the pile of dirty dishes, pots and pans, and all the other things I had to do. I thought once more how true it was, the saying, "A maid's work is never done." I removed my white half apron and put on a large kitchen working apron. I added rubber gloves and I started filling the sink with hot soapy water. I was lost in my thoughts as I was doing the dishes. When I heard a slight noise behind me, I turned startled and saw the two ladies, Miss Debbie and Miss Charlotte, looking at me. "Please don't stop your work. We both admire your commitment to your task," said Miss Debbie gently. "You genuinely enjoy doing this job, don't you?" asked me Miss Charlotte. I answered back without stopping what I was doing. "Yes, miss, I do. I am not certain why, but serving and housework comes naturally to me, so I feel quite at home doing in. My wife tells me that I must have been a maid in my previous life, and I tend to believe her." "You do everything so naturally," continued Miss Charlotte. "No fuss, no complaints, no bad mood. I wish we had a maid like you. What a pity you don't live permanently in Melbourne. I can tell you, you would be very popular with lots of my friends and you would be paid well too." She stopped to look at Miss Debbie, who was nodding her head in agreement, and continued, "And Melissa tell us that you like your uniforms and aprons, so we would make sure to provide you accordingly. I was listening to them, and my excitement was mounting. What an incredible scene. Here I was doing the dishes properly uniformed, and two nice ladies were offering me a real maid's job seriously, without any back thoughts or trace of mockery. I thanked them for their kindness and generosity, adding that probably in the not very distant future, we would decide with my wife to move permanently to Australia. And at my age, the only work I could find would have been the unskilled one of a maid, and then I certainly would remember them. They liked that idea because they both said in unison, "Annie, that would be wonderful between Melissa and us, and of course your own home, you have a full-time job. Probably Melissa can convince your employer. After all, they are old friends. And by the way, we are looking forward to meet her next time you come. She is so lucky to have such a domestic jewel at home." I've noticed they called Pat my employer, not my wife. Obviously, they couldn't conceive that I could be anything else but what I appeared to be to them, just a domestic servant. But I've noticed, too, that they genuinely seemed to like me, and I was touched. I thanked them once more, as Mrs. Melissa was coming in to announce that the other couple was about to go, and they wanted to say goodnight. That night in my bed, I was dreaming of moving to Australia and becoming a permanent maid. It was exciting and disconcerting at the same time. Sunday was a more relaxing day, even for the maid, and Mrs. Melissa made a point of telling me. Of course, I had to prepare breakfast, serve it, and then do the dishes, but from then on, they let me take it easy. I was in uniform, of course, wearing my morning dress and white apron. After all, I realized I didn't have any other clothes to wear except the male clothes I arrived in. And I still had to walk Bruno to the park, now feeling much more confident. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we had the last night's leftovers for lunch. And then both my employers went to their room for a siesta. It was a really hot day with the temperature climbing to the mid-90s. So I decided to stay in my room, and for the first time in a week, I managed to read a bit, looking idly at Sunday papers. But my mind was elsewhere. I was thinking that tomorrow my wife would come back to get me, and the most extraordinary week of my life was about to end. I was still thinking of the serious proposition I received from the two kind ladies, Miss Debbie and Miss Charlotte, to come and work for them. I was thinking that those two ladies don't know a thing about my male persona. They only met a maid called Annie. How extraordinary. At about 4 o'clock, the little electric bell in my room buzzed suddenly and made me jump. I was dozing and the ring startled me. Then I remembered Mrs. Melissa was summoning me to their bedroom. I fixed myself as quickly as possible, tied my white apron on, and rushed up the stairs to the master bedroom. I knocked politely and waited. I heard after several seconds Mrs. Melissa's voice calling me in. I smoothly opened the door, walked a few steps inside, curtsied, and asked politely, "You called for me, ma'am?" They were both lying in bed, reading and looking very comfortable and relaxed in their air-conditioned bedroom. It took Mrs. Melissa at least a couple of minutes to lift her eyes from the book she was reading. I was standing there, feeling silly and nervously playing with the edge of my apron. "Ah, there you are, Annie," she said rather imperiously. "I expect you to come faster when I call for you. Probably you were having a snooze. I will disregard the delay this time, only because it's Sunday, and I gave you the permission to slow down." What a bitch, I thought to myself. Oops. I did catch myself reacting as a real servant, being annoyed by the mistress. She looked at her wristwatch and continued, "Could you please make some coffee and serve it in the living room in 20 minutes exactly? Your master and I will be down shortly. Thank you. You can go now." She dismissed me abruptly in her usual manner. I curtsied once more and scurried to the kitchen. As I was preparing the coffee, I was thinking that Mrs. Melissa was treating me a lot with the carrot and stick method. At one moment, she is kind and polite, and I start relaxing. Then she turns and becomes an arrogant and demanding bitch. I guess this always has been the fate of a servant over the centuries, and... "Now stop it, Annie," I said to myself loudly. "Stop being pedantic and finish this damn coffee." The rest of the day I spent doing the laundry and some ironing. I was even allowed after dinner to sit and watch TV with my employers. I was sitting in a simple chair a bit apart from their comfortable settee, having my uniform dress on without my apron. Mr. Melissa was kind to me again. I was up and about very early on Monday, feeling nervous. Automatically, I put a clean uniform dress on, I tied my working apron, and I started breakfast. Mrs. Melissa was up early too, and I served her breakfast in the kitchen table. As usually, she anticipated my thoughts and started talking to me. "Well, it's your last morning here, Annie. Your mistress will be here to get you around 1 o'clock. I expect you to continue working as a maid, though, until Pat arrives. You will make a light lunch and serve it to both of us. Then you can clear the table, wash up, tidy up the kitchen, and only after you complete all these tasks successfully, you can go and change back to your male persona. How about that? I was a bit confused. I didn't know how Pat would react to all that. I also felt a bit uneasy. My wife never saw me before acting as a maid outside our own home. A feeling of shyness overtook me. I turned to Mrs. Melissa and said, "I am not sure, ma'am, how my wife will react. I feel a bit embarrassed to face her as Annie." She looked at me for a moment and said in her determined manner, "I'll tell you what, Annie, I'll take all the responsibility. I will simply tell to Pat that I insisted you stay as a maid until after you serve us lunch. Is that okay with you?" I answered hesitantly and in a resigned manner, "Whatever you say, ma'am." I prepared everything in the kitchen. I even made the table for two because Mr. Paul, as usually, was too involved in his studio. Mrs. Melissa came to my room and inspected me very thoroughly. I was wearing my pink striped morning uniform dress, my half-white apron, and my plain white cup. She touched up my light makeup and my lipstick and adjusted the bow of my apron. A last look in the mirror and she shooed me out of my room. It was a few minutes after 1 o'clock and the bell of the gate rang. "God, Pat is here." I run after Bruno as usually to let her in. I was moving like an automaton. So be it, I thought to myself. Whatever happens, happens. I opened the gate and there she was standing with a small suitcase, looking pretty, bronzed from the tropical sun and relaxed. I blushed all over as she looked at me from top to bottom. Her expression changed to one of utter astonishment. "Well, well, who is this pretty maid? She can't be my MG, is she?" Of course, now I remember it is Annie, my friend Melissa's new maid. "Aren't you going to let me in, Annie?" I blushed even more and managed to smile. I stepped aside to let her in. "Of course, come in, please, ma'am." Then I changed the tone of my voice, remembering that this was Pat, my wife. "Please come in, Pat. It's so nice to see you again. I missed you." I said those words, but somehow I couldn't hug or kiss her. The way I was dressed and acted somehow prevented me from this intimate contact. I still felt like a maid letting a guest in. She came in and, of course, gave me her bag to carry. She smiled at me in a mischievous way and went in to hug and kiss with Mrs. Melissa. From then on, she sort of ignored me. She was chatting amicably with Mrs. Melissa. I served them their lunch, but I wasn't included in any of their conversations. I am sure that later Pat will tell me what they were talking about. But at the moment, they both acted as if I wasn't there, except for the occasional thank you or please bring this or that. I had my lonely lunch in the kitchen, I did the dishes, tidied up, and then I asked Mrs. Melissa, "I finished with my chores, ma'am. Can I change back to my street clothes?" She looked at Pat, who nodded, "Yes," and said, "Of course, Annie, that will be all. You can go and change now, and don't forget to pack your uniforms. They are yours now. I think you deserve them. I must say you worked very hard, and I thanked your mistress here for letting me having you for a week." I managed a hesitant curtsy. After all, I always was aware of the presence of Pat, and I rushed to my room to change. Later, as we were saying our goodbyes, Melissa gave me a kiss and a hug and said quietly, only for me to hear, "You were a great help, Annie. I really enjoyed having you working for us. Please come again." I thanked her also very profoundly, but I am certain she never could perceive how much she offered to me, fulfilling one of my longest-standing dreams. To work as a full-time maid, even for that short amount of time. And that's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story. And show your support on Patreon.